Now, reports say truce talks between Israel and Hamas will resume in Cairo today. And this comes as Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu faces what may be the gravest challenge yet to his grip on power. His alliance of secular and ultra-Orthodox coalition partners is divided about whether the state should continue to allow young ultra-Orthodox Jewish men to retain their long-standing exemption from military service. But would a different and centrist-led Israeli government take a different approach to the war in Gaza? Now, we'll be discussing this shortly with Nomi Bar-Yakov from Chatham House. But first, to the continuing dire situation in Gaza and the threat hanging over people of an Israeli ground offensive in Rafah. Earlier, I spoke to Juliette Tuma from the UN Relief and Works Agency, and we spoke first about the situation in northern Gaza.
It is very hard for us to give the full picture because we don't have enough access to that part of Gaza. But what we do know is that it is a desperate situation. It's probably the worst across the Gaza Strip, which is anyway a hell of a situation. There's very, very little to no food. This is where people, including children, are starving. Many children, according to reports from other United Nations agencies, have died due to malnutrition and dehydration. This is why it's absolutely critical that UNRWA is allowed to reach the north with food supplies, with nutrition kits for children, with water, before it's too late, before more children die.
I want to come back to UNRWA shortly and indeed the accusations levelled against you some time ago in relation to the Hamas attack back in October. But I want to stay with the aid, and there is more aid on its way from Cyprus. It's coming by sea, it's coming by air. What is happening to that aid when it gets to Gaza?
We welcome any effort that would bring in more supplies, including food, into Gaza. However, what we are saying is that there is a more efficient, easier, faster, cheaper, and safer, much safer way to bring in food and other supplies into Gaza, and that is via road. This is why it's absolutely critical that the Israeli authorities open more road crossings, allow more trucks to come in, not just for the UN and UNRWA, but also for the commercial sector so that the market reopens in Gaza. You see, if you are a mother and you wanted to buy milk for your child, you cannot do it because there are no shops in Gaza.
And the World Food Programme and others have reported that the IDF, the Israeli Defence Forces, have been delaying or denying convoys of aid. Up to 30% is the figure quoted for this month, the month of March. How are they doing that, Juliet?
Look, there's no question that the Israeli army has not allowed enough supplies to come into Gaza from day one of the war. For the first 2 weeks, as one example, Gaza was hermetically closed under a very tight siege by the Israeli authorities where nothing was coming in. Then very little aid started coming in, 20 trucks, 30 trucks. Then we've seen a slight increase. But we are at an average of 150 trucks that are being processed every day, which is way, way below the daily average that Gaza used to get, which is 500. So much more needs to be done.
Israel, of course, would say that Hamas is commandeering that aid. Do you see evidence of that? And what can be done to stop that happening?
I can tell you about the aid that UNRWA brings, and there is no aid diversion, and UNRWA delivers the aid directly to people in need, including in UNRWA shelters, where we have over a million people. What is really important to remember is that with airdrops and other ways to bring in aid to Gaza, what guarantees do we have that aid being dropped from the air is not going into the wrong hands? The safest and most efficient and most reliable way to make sure that aid goes into the right hands, which is the people in need in Gaza, is through UNRWA and other United Nations agency via the road, via our teams.
But you would accept then that Israel is right, that Hamas is commandeering aid, some aid coming into Gaza?
Like I said, not the aid that is coming from UNRWA, and I can only speak for UNRWA.
A final question for you, Juliet. There are reports of truce talks resuming in Egypt. Would you like to see the opening of more crossings and the delivery of aid on the top of the agenda when those talks start sometime today?
What we'd like to see as a top priority is a ceasefire. That's long overdue, and there is a Security Council resolution that has asked for a ceasefire immediately, and we look forward to the implementation of that very important Security Council resolution. People in Gaza need respite. It's time to stop this war, and it's time to go back in a longer term to a political process that would bring finally peace and stability and prosperity to people in Israel and in Palestine.
And you were listening there to Juliet Tuma from UNRWA. Let's continue our conversation now with Nomi Bari-Yakov, Associate Fellow of the International Security Programme at Chatham House. And good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. Happy Easter.
And to you as well. And we were hearing about the on-the-ground desperation in Gaza and in northern Gaza, the reports now of talks resuming in Cairo and hopes from Juliet there of a ceasefire on this Easter Sunday. What is the hope of an end to this conflict moving closer, or is it in fact slipping further away?
Well, I think no one knows exactly when a ceasefire will be declared, and Hamas have risen, you know, the stakes are quite high. They're requesting a total withdrawal of the Israeli army, the IDF, from Gaza. And I think that's going to be quite tricky. And in order to reach a ceasefire, it's three mediators that have the leverage, Qatar, Egypt, and the US. Qatar over Hamas, the US over Israel. The talks have been going on for almost 6 months now. So I think I would be very cautious about any imminent declaration, but I think that they are negotiating bona fide, and hopefully, even if it's a temporary ceasefire, that is exactly as Juliet said, you know, one needs a ceasefire urgently. Mm. I mean, absolutely, it's vital in order to get the aid in, not just into northern Gaza, but into really flood Gaza. 150 trucks a day, as you said, is not sufficient at present. So, and that's very hard to do without a ceasefire, because the only way to deliver aid is through ground crossings.
And what about, and you've been writing about this, what about a change of power in the Prime Ministerial office, the end of the Netanyahu era? Could it be close? And how might that influence the conduct of this war?
So one very encouraging development over the last 24 hours is that the mass demonstrations in Israel are resuming. And today they've announced, I mean, they're expecting very large numbers. I would not want to predict until we see the numbers turned out. The police are bracing for it. They're going to block roads. I think you've got both the police blocking roads and the protesters blocking roads, but the protests have been announced across the country, sort of north to south. And the protests are demanding, you know, the release of the 134, imminent release of the 134 hostages, which of course is the key to a ceasefire. There won't be a ceasefire without a release of hostages. So, you know, you're in a catch-22. And so I think demanding a ceasefire without a release of some hostages is not going to happen, despite the United Nations Security Council resolution. So I think that is that. To answer your question about the change of power, I think it is the beginning of the end of Netanyahu, and it's just a question of time.
And this controversy, this recent controversy now over the drafting into the army of ultra-Orthodox Jewish men, does that make it more likely? And if so, why?
Well, that's another, you know, it's hard to tell whether the end of Netanyahu will come from the right of his government or the left of his, or the opposition. So it could come from either. But it's a very serious issue. And for many years, the ultra-Orthodox population in Israel has been living off taxpayers' money and not serving. So they study the Torah, the Bible, and they don't contribute, they don't pay taxes, and they don't serve in the army. And now they're demanding that the right-wing coalition are demanding that they extend the length of time of compulsory service for men and women. And that's totally unacceptable. To sort of expect the largely secular population to fund, basically. Yes, go ahead.
Looking at who replaces Netanyahu, and indeed whether there'll be a general election, but the centre-right Benny Gantz is growing in the polls. It could be him. Will we see a change in style more than substance if that's the case?
I think you'll see a change of substance, not only style. I think you'll. Whoever replaces Netanyahu is going to be action oriented, is goal oriented. They'll want to get the hostages back, which will mean having a ceasefire and trying to repair the huge damage that the Prime Minister Netanyahu has done to Israel in terms of the relationship, not only transatlantic with the United States, but also with Arab states that Israel has diplomatic relations with. I think that there's a sense of urgency coming from all the intelligence bodies, Mossad, the internal intelligence, Shin Bet, military intelligence. The warnings are loud and clear that every day that Netanyahu is in power risks Israel's own security. And as such, even people from the right, I mean, people who have been Netanyahu's allies are calling for his resignation, saying that he is mentally unfit, cognitively unfit for service. There's been a petition to the High Court of Justice, the Supreme Court sitting as a high court, saying that this is the case, on mental grounds, and there have been mental health, and there have also been Amos Malka, former head of military intelligence, former head of the political bureau in the Ministry of Defense, not known to be a left-winger, has called in these protests precisely for this urgency of the ousting of Netanyahu from his post, given the risk.
Nomi Bari-Yakov, thank you very much indeed for talking to us on This Week, this afternoon.